You have your Bibles this morning. Would you open them with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2? Good morning to you. It is good to see you this morning, and I don't just say that. I mean that with the deepest sincerity this morning. We're so glad you're in God's house, but especially in this one. Amen. This morning, I trust you have come. The music has been great. The hospitality has been sweet. And I thank God this morning for this occasion to be able to open the Word of God and to be able to live through it and learn from it. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you our title of the time that is given to us this morning is A Call for Adoration. A Call for Adoration. I believe when we look at the times, do you ever get fearful sometimes? That maybe everything is not just right in your life. You know, all of us have suffered regret. Some of us live through them even now. It has a damper on our Christianity at times. But truth is, listen, we're not perfect. And I hope you don't ever try to be perfect in the eyes of man. But if we'll just give God all we've got, then maybe we can look at it this way. We've reached our potential. And in God's eyes, that has made us perfect. So we look at that this morning. But I want to share with you this morning that in the time that's given to us, we have to make the best of it. Amen? And so we look at this time of Christmas. So here we are on the Sunday. 'Twas the Sunday before Christmas. And we're together, assembled together, not forsaking the assembling of God's people. You didn't do that. You didn't forsake that this morning. But this morning, not only do we want to thank God that we didn't forsake the assembly, but we want to make sure that we don't forsake the adoration of God. So this morning, I have for you in store. Are you excited? Are you ready? Have you been praying for this? Have you been reading your Bible? Are you looking for God this morning to do something great? If you haven't, if you aim at nothing, we generally hit it. But if you come this morning expecting, I'm going to tell you, God's going to open up the windows of heaven on you, my dear friend. So this morning, we're going to take the word adore, which consists of five letters, and we're going to look at the A, the D, the O, the R, and the E. So if it is a time, if it is a call for adoration, then let's look at the word adore. We're going to do that this morning. Look with me in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read one verse to you. And then we're going to dig right in. Luke 2 in verse 11. The angel said, listen to this now, watch this. The breath of angels breathed this verse. Fathom that for a moment. If possible, fathom that. In verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We'll read that once more. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, look, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we're so thankful and grateful for this another opportunity. God, you are so merciful. You showed that, proved that through your Son. But God, your mercy endureth forever. And God, we know this morning that you love us and that you are extending to us that grace and that truth. And Father, this morning I pray that you will help us in our feeble effort to be able to grasp that. And God, this morning I pray for your Holy Spirit. God, without the Spirit, Lord, without the leading and the guiding and the remembrance, and without the luring and tugging of one's heart, God, I am totally inadequate. But God, with your Spirit and through you and through your Word, preaching and lifting up the name of Jesus, I know this morning that we will be fully adequate. Father, I pray this morning, your will be done above all other things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A call for adoration is what the angels breathe in Luke 2:11. That we, as people, as mankind, would adore the Savior, the Son of God that was born on that day. Look with me this morning. I'm going to share with you. Now, I'm going to be moving around with some scripture. If it becomes a distraction, you write it down and you check up on me a little bit later on. Okay? But we're going to read the most notorious verse of the Bible in John 3 and in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know this morning that A stands for absolute. A stands for absolute, which means completely. God, heaven sent their finest to earth. All that heaven could offer, the very, very best, is what the world received when God gave His only begotten Son to the world. Because why? No other reason did He send His Son, but because He loved you, He sent the finest that heaven offered. Remember, Jesus Christ always was and always is. So Jesus Christ being born in the form of a baby did not make Him some immature God. He had all the attributes of God, even in that small baby, what we call flesh. But isn't it ironic? Do you see the irony here? That God always has to wait on the flesh to grow and mature before He can truly manifest His glory. And even in the flesh of Jesus Christ incarnated in the flesh, He had to wait until a proper age, until He grew into wisdom, not God Himself, but the flesh in which He dwelt. He had to wait until He grew wise and in the favor of God. He grew and gave us the absolute best that heaven had. Jesus, the Son of God, who sat at His right hand before He came to us and who still sits there. Can you imagine how it was when God the Father, we know the Trinity of God, but God the Father, three persons in one, when His Son left for 33 years plus, heaven's champion was on earth and not in heaven. Now, I know there's no time in heaven. But there was still an area there that lapsed where the Trinity always was. But there was a time where God came and dwelt upon man in the most absolute form. And we look at that this morning. And we use that for our reasoning of adoration. There He was in that cradle, the absolute finest. That's a call for adoration. We look now at D in declaration. Bring your attention to John 1 and verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. There was a declaration made. God was declaring to the world that this is My only begotten Son. But when you look deep into the Scripture in verse 18 of John 1, it says, which is in the bosom of the Father. This is Jesus, His begotten Son. His only begotten Son was in His bosom. Do you know what that means? That means that Jesus Christ, this babe that was born unto us, had the most intimate knowledge of the Father. He possessed that. And not only that, but it denotes that it is the highest unity that ever was and ever will be. And Jesus Christ was a declaration of God to the world, declaring Him, that is My Son, whom I love. And He declared that Not that it be forgotten in this year in which we live, but that it may live on because He made that declaration to all men, to every tongue in every language, to every color, to every sinner. He declared unto him, you are have this day born unto you into the city of David, a Savior, Jesus Christ, my Son. What a declaration from heaven! Woo! God announced him in his declaration. He made a formal statement. So don't take for granted what I'm giving you. I'm giving you an opportunity of a lifetime. Don't you miss out on it. And I'll tell you, when you consider just for one moment in your busy life that God Almighty, God the Father, the only true living God, declared unto man, lost and undone in their sin, that you, unto you, this day have a Savior born unto you. We should realize this morning that that is a call for adoration. We also see in the letter, O, it stands for the one and only. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sometimes the church should just break out just singing hymns. You know, oh, how I love Jesus. But standing in the back this morning, we better off just to keep on preaching. Amen. We don't want to damper the mood. But He was the one and only. If I'm ever ridiculed because I get excited about Christ, then bring it. Amen? I'd rather get ridiculed for getting excited about Him instead of getting ridiculed for being sleepy on Him. Amen? Because the rocks is going to cry out if y'all don't. That's what He said. But maybe that part doesn't exist and maybe I'm misinterpreting it. I don't think so either. But let me bring your attention to 1 Timothy and 2:5. For there, this is Paul, our ambassador, our representation of the Gentile nation. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus is His name. He is the only mediator. He is the only middleman. He is the only peacemaker. See, you have two parties at this point. God and man. They are at in enmity with one another. Because God is angry because of the acts that man has created, or should I say committed against God. Sin breaks the heart of God. The sin in which you have right now in your heart breaks the very heart of God. Still does. Always will. It's not just hurting you. It's not just hurting them. It hurts the Almighty. And He is the only one, Jesus Christ, in this declaration, in this absolute form, in the baby, and the reason we have Christmas is because here He is, the one and only. Like Miss Betty Kinsler did the other night, does such a great job at Carol's and our Women Auxiliary Christmas party. Listen, did angels show up? And in her devotion, she did a wonderful job. Did angels show up when you were born? Did they bring the announcement from heaven? No. But He was not born in a king's palace, because if He were, there would have been only a few people who could afford what He brought. But He said, I am the one and only. I'm the mediator. And He said, I bring with me a worth that can purchase the law. That is a call for adoration. That is a call for us to rise up as people and realize without Him, we would be lost forever. In total depravity, complete corrupt, bad to the bone, and not in a good way. Corrupt to the core. And without the one and only, the mediator, the peacemaker, the only way God will accept you was born unto us. That is the call for adoration. And when you think about this for a minute, think about this. Will you just indulge in this thought? The very act that God was performing for us is called reconciliation. The process began. It was not completed until he died on Calvary's cross and stood up from the grave on the third day. But the process of reconciliation began when he was born unto us this day a Savior. When that reconciliation, which means if you don't know this, let me spell it out for you. It is when there are at least two parties who have differences and they need some way, somehow to come to an agreement on things. Maybe you need to look that word up, church people, because the fight ain't in here, it's out there. We need to understand what reconciliation is, and we need to live it, or else don't ask nobody in the secular world to have it if you cannot live it. Your testimony is no good. Your worth, your credibility is squat. Because talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words any day of the week. So if you don't have reconciliation in your own life, don't ask nobody to get saved. Because you can't even save yourself. But reconciliation, watch this. Are you with me this morning? Can I get a hearty amen? Here we go. Here is God. Watch this. His first act of reconciliation begins when God, the Son, takes on the flesh. The reconciliation process began in Himself before it ever began in the world. See, the reason the virgin birth is so doctrinally important is because the seed of man, which would have been Joseph, even in his best, is his filthy rags. But had he been the reason that Mary conceived, then the baby was already corrupt by the very moment of conception because of the sin nature that's been passed down from Adam and Eve. So it was the Holy Spirit of God that came upon Mary and she conceived the Savior of the world. There's no corruptness in that. That's right, the Holy Spirit placed within her the seed of Jesus Christ. The seed of our salvation. And because that reconciliation began in the womb of Mary, then it proven itself that it can happen for you and me. And that is worthy of adoration. Or rescue. This is my favorite one now. If you're not wound up after this one, you won't be. Your wood's wet, and I'm sorry you left it outside this week. Get you a hairdryer or buy you another load. Amen. Here we go. Rescue. Rescue in Romans 8, 19 and 23, or through 23 rather. Let me read it to you. For Paul again says, for the earnest expectation. Now you got to listen close to this or you ain't going to get it. I don't have time to read it twice. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means to reveal unto us. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Listen now, this is you and I. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Did you just hear that? Did I just say that right? But to be delivered. That means somebody's got to come to our rescue. And his name is Jesus. I like it when you get rescued. You ever see him on TV? Man, those are heroic people. They lay their life on the line to assure your safety. People do it every day. Thank God for that. But by the reason of, now I'm in the wrong spot. But from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Did you just hear that? Is that real? I got to read that one again. Hold on. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Do you know that's available for you this morning? You know it's not going to cost you a dime because it cost him everything. Are you going to let that slip by you? Are you going to, on your account, your own personal account, will what he did be in vain because of your life? Will it be vanity? Or are we going to put it to good use and good measure? That choice is yours. And thank God for those of you who already have. But I see here in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Let me break travaileth down for you. Let me give you a good example of what travailing means. Have you ever seen, heard, been a part of, or any situation dealing with a woman having a baby? My wife, whom I love, blamed me for her pain. And I said, no, ma'am. The Bible is very clear that Miss Eve is the reason you in pain. Can I get a witness? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. So don't put me in the headlock. That's the only reason we're having three children. She said, I'm done. And I said, I am too. Because she said, hold me in the headlock made her feel better. There ain't no way. I questioned one's integrity. There ain't no way. But the thing is, I can remember when my mama had Alyssa, which is my baby sister, which is 13 years old now, which is 20 years between me and her, which Matthew was a baby for 13 years, and that explains a lot. But what I'm trying to say is, the thing is, I can remember they didn't get the needle to my mama fast enough. And two floors down, on the other end of the hospital, I could hear my mama having a listen. That's what it means to travail. It means to be in complete agony and pain with no remedy in sight. That's what it means to travail. And Paul went on to say that people, all of the creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Watch this. Until now. That means that there's a break. That means that there's actually light at the end of the tunnel. And that means until now, there's no longer a need to groan. There's no need, a need to travail. Because now unto us is born a Savior in the city of David. And His name is Jesus Christ. That is a call for adoration. But it doesn't end there. Because someone who rescues doesn't give you just hope. He gives you a way out. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, a very familiar verse, tells us that death, oh death, does not have any sting on the believer. Why fear death? You know why you're scared of dying? Because you're scared of where you go. You know why you're scared of going in the grave? Because you ain't got victory over that grave. If you believe in the one that I believe in, when you die, death, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Amen. It's not there. Because see, when you die as a believer, there is no sting. When you're put in a ground or in an urn or in a mausoleum, when that trumpet sounds, boom, nothing can hold you. Because as a believer, your body is just sleeping. That does not put you in purgatory. That either puts you in hell or heaven at the very moment you take your last breath. And can I insert this? Do you realize just this morning that this one that I'm so excited about, now, I've told you this before, and I'll probably tell you many times over, but you know, just one heartbeat, and you'll be facing Him. All your heart has to do is stop. One heartbeat away, and you can be looking in the face of the one who saved you by His death. You know how close you are to Him? By the way some lead and live their lives, you don't have a clue. Nor do you believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. Because if you truly did, you'd make the overhaul this morning. That is the call for adoration. When I can still hear the chains and the shackles that release from bondage. He saved me. Hell hath no hold, death hath no sting, and grave hath no victory, because unto us this day a saint. But the last but not least, E is for existence. There's a call of adoration this morning among us, among the brethren. Because He exists. See, the virgin birth was more than a myth. The virgin birth was more than a mystery. The virgin birth of Mary. And what it does is it helps us today to understand that inside of Bethlehem, a miracle took place. And we could go around this room, but at the age of 7, that miracle took place. I was saved. And because E stands for existence in the word adore, it tells us that this is not just a story. But 700 plus years that Isaiah told us that there would become a Messiah. He came. He come onto the scene. He proved the Holy Scriptures to be absolutely correct. And it tells us that He is. And He's the great I Am. And because of that, we have proof of His existence. And this morning, that is a call for adoration. A call to adore Him. Because what He says He'll do, He will do. And because of that baby lying there in a manger, proves the existence of God. Because there He was. In the flesh. You know what I want us to do this morning? I want us to take our outlook on Christmas and we will throw it in the trash for the most part. Because watch this. We base our Christianity, we base a lot of our Christian principles because of what Jesus has given to us. But can I tell you this morning, we need to change that logic. We need to change our perspective. And what we need to do this morning and from this day forward, and especially concentrating on this week leading up to Christmas Day, is that we not base our Christianity or the celebration of Christmas because of what Jesus has given to us, but let us as God's people base it on what He took away from us. And we will begin to realize that we are more than conquerors. Not based on what He give us. See, God give His Son that He would come and take away from us the sin that damned us. And through that, He saved. So let us celebrate this morning. And rejoice. Be full of joy because inside that manger was a God full of grace and glory and truth to all who will believe. So this morning, we have an opportunity of a lifetime to take a moment and just search our souls and say, God, thank You, not for what You have given, but thank You for what You have taken away from me. And that was the bondage of sin. And we will forever, no matter what we see or are going through, we'll be able to smile and rejoice in our heart because we have been redeemed. When He came, He brought all that He needed to buy back that which He had created and was lost and in total depravity. But it took a complete, absolute, pure, perfect babe born of a virgin mother. And this morning, during this commitment time, we can come and cry with tears of joy. We can come and celebrate. And we can come and confess our sin and give Him the greatest gift that you could ever give. This morning, whatever be your need, this altar's open to you. If it's just to come and pray, celebrate, or really concentrate on Him. The one I've preached on this morning, let Him be the deciding factor. Will you stand with me this morning? Every head's bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a moment of commitment, a time for each and every one of believers and non-believers to respond to the call of God Almighty. Let us pray. Father, this morning, I just want to raise my hands and say thank You. God, all that I have is Yours. God, I pray this morning as You spoke to someone's heart, whatever be the need, God, whatever stands between them and this time of year, that we're able to actually celebrate Your birth and celebrate all that You've taken away from us. God, I pray this morning that You will have Your own way and will in each and every life. And God, will You remind every precious soul here this morning that, Lord, if they be here for the first time, they are our honored guests. And God, we pray this morning if they have a need, they will come and join our people around an altar of prayer as we celebrate You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God spoke to you this morning as we sing. Won't you come?